All right, I see the red live there, and everything's looks like it's getting started. So we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody, this morning. So glad that you're able to meet with us and be with us this morning. I know it probably didn't come as much of a surprise as calling off today due to the weather, the way it's been this week. I think last week was a little bit different. We were trying to get things together, so I felt a little scrambled right before getting everything going as far as going live. I want to say this here, just because we're at home sometimes on Sunday mornings, I want you to know that your pastor is probably working as hard or maybe even harder when doing this than not, because I know at our church we have others who do the Facebook Live for us and have things set up, and here at home I kind of do all those things, wear a few extra hats for that part, but say that for two reasons. One, just really always pray for your pastor and doing all this, all the technology and all the things that come into play with it. But also, I greatly appreciate all those who take part in our church and our services and all the things that they do. And I want to say this. I want to welcome you to our church. I invite you to our church. If you're looking for a church family, we would love to have you at Mount Lebanon. Just a wonderful group of folks. I love them and appreciate them greatly. And just known them for many, many, many years. It's home, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for them, and we'd love to have you come be with us. We're just off Bearch Creek Road, above Willow Valley Golf Course, so we're not far from Boone. Not far at all from App State campus, so we'd love to have you if you're looking for a church family. One thing I wanted to make mention of too this morning is this was supposed to have started our what I'm calling a prophecy conference this morning, would have been with Brother Daniel Freed with Hope of Israel Ministries, a Jewish doctor who is converted to Christianity and has a lot of information with all that's going on in Israel. Several members, different people said, you know, we need to do a study about this. I'd like for you to do a study. And really started looking at it. And that's a very, very, obviously a very large topic. And I thought of Brother Daniel Freed, a text he had sent to some of us there in the church, some members, deacons in the church, and about what was going on. And I reached out to him and I said, you know, I really believe this would be, you would be the one to teach a topic like this to our church. And so it was supposed to be this week, but due to the weather, we were not able to do that. So what we're actually planning to do this on March 10th through the 13th. March 10th through the 13th, that was his next available date. So I wanted to share that. Hadn't been able to get that to other members in the church also, but wanted to get that out there. That's the plan. That's why I was trying to wait until we were more sure about the weather, about getting out there before maybe doing too much advertising and getting it out there and sharing it. Want to make sure. And hopefully by mid-March, that is also spring break for App State. It's that week. Give you an idea of when that is. So hopefully things will work out for that date. But keep you updated on that and keep everything going there. And but that'd be March 10th through the 13th. If you will, let's be turned to Exodus chapter number 5. I want to look at a couple of verses here to get us started. This is, I guess, something that came to me, came to my heart this week as going through the studying of the Bible, reading of the Bible. Great way, if you do that annually, great way to keep yourself familiarized with where things are in the Bible, different accounts. But there's so many golden nuggets that are in there. And the Lord really laid this on my heart for this week. And again, not really sure knowing if we'd be in church or out of church, but we're here. And that's another thing that I appreciate about Facebook Live is you really don't know who you're reaching. And I want to say this here too. Our church, we have Facebook Live regardless of in-person or at-home services each week, each Sunday morning, each Wednesday night, as long as we have service. And so I want to invite you, if you're not able, maybe if you don't live in the area and not able to attend with us, but would like to hear more teaching or preaching of the gospel, I'd love to invite you to do that here online with us. And I'll say this here. This is something that I've heard several times, maybe referenced from different people, but I've heard people kind of categorize me as more of a teaching preacher sometimes than a preaching preacher sometimes, you know. And Brandy will tell you, my wife will tell you, you know, used to really bother me. I'm like, well, I don't want people to think of me that way or look at me that way. And I can only be how I am, who I am. And that's just only, again, by the grace of God. And I look at things as being, I don't want to outrun the fire. I want you to be able to understand what I'm saying and clearly understanding what is being taught. Let me put it this way. If I am more focused on how I'm presenting to you than what I'm presenting to you, then I'm being more focused on the flesh than I am the spirit. My thing is, I really want the spirit to come through. I want to be a vessel that the Lord can use. And that's my main goal, to lead people to Christ and to help people. We have so many people that are in need in our churches, spiritual need, sicknesses, physical need. And I always want to be aware of that and more focused on the person, on the need. And, you know, when Jesus was here, he was focused on the people. Not to say that he was not serious. He absolutely was. His stand was his stand. His word is his word. It's settled. But I believe God's heart, Jesus' heart, is for the people. And that's what we really need to focus on in these last days, and looking to his coming and being prepared. And that's kind of what this is about this morning. The title this morning of this topic is, I Want You to Know. I Want You to Know. If you look up the word know, that means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to be no stranger, to have full assurance of. It's important to know things. I hear a lot of times, I hope, I wish, I'm not sure, uncertainty. In this day and time, I'm sure if you look around, you'd probably filled with a lot of uncertainty, but there are some things that God wants you to know. There's things I want you to know. And just looking at different perspectives of people this morning, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into this morning, and I'll try not to be too long, but I want our hearts and our minds to be in tune together, because it's a very, very important topic. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. I see the beautiful sunshine coming out, and just looks so beautiful out there. But Lord, we know that it's very cold, very windy, and that's why we're here at home doing our studies this way and our teaching, our preaching this way this morning. But God, we thank you for the ability to do that. God, so many in our church that are facing things, we pray for the McKinneys, Lord, all that's going on with them, Lord, with little Zeke and just the sickness there. God, I just pray that your healing hand and hand of comfort be upon them. Lord, those that are sick in our church, Lord, we just pray for comfort and some peace and healing for them also, God. Just be with them, Lord, and help them. God, I pray that you be in this message today. Help me to say everything you, the way you'd have me to. Get myself out of the way, promote you, lift you up, God, that men can be drawn into you. Lord, that's what this is all about. And God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for shedding your grace upon me, your mercy upon me. Lord, I know I'm undeserving. I don't deserve anything. But God, I thank you for all your mercy and your grace. Go with us today. Help those that are listening. Lord, touch hearts and help minds to see clearly, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in Exodus chapter number 5, been going through this on Wednesday nights in our study on faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and then also now starting over a new year, chronologically reading through the Bible, or canonized, the way the Bible is written. That's the way I've been doing it each year, to keep my mind refreshed where things are, and I challenge you and encourage you to do so. It will greatly help you. A lot of times we'll say the Bible says, or doesn't the Bible say, and it's not in there. It might be a good thought, but it's important that when we reference the Bible that we can actually go back and say, this is the context of what I'm telling you here. And as I was reading through and listening through this week, this is something that really jumped out to me. I enjoy my listening time as I go into work. And Exodus chapter number 5, verses 1 and 2, it says here, And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, and that they may hold a feast unto me and in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? What should I, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And you know, I've probably read through that many times, might even had it preached or taught to me several times, or maybe even in Bible school or what have you. We know the story of Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron and Israel, and the Exodus that we're seeing here about Moses telling Pharaoh to let his people go. But as I was listening to this past week, I'd never really noticed so much how what Pharaoh said here at the very beginning. He said, "Who is the Lord?" You know, that really hit my heart. This is a real people. This is a real person in history. And he was proclaiming here, and he wasn't saying this as, "I want to know, I'm asking you, I want to learn more about your God." It wasn't said like that. You got to look at it from Pharaoh's perspective. He was one that was a king. And the Egyptians, they had their own set of theology, if you will, and gods. And that is what the Lord used to attack Israel. I'm sorry, to attack the Egyptians with, Egypt with, or plague them with, was those things that were categorized as Egyptian gods. The frogs, the lice, all those things that meant something to the Egyptians. And the Lord, we see him use nature, his creation, those things that Pharaoh and the Egyptians worshipped against them, to show Pharaoh who he was and that he had the power of it. And we see right off, it says here, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" He's kind of mocking back at Moses and Aaron. He said, "I know not the Lord." That is probably among one of the saddest comments I've ever heard in the Bible. "I know not the Lord." When I heard that, it resonated with me, and it made me think about today's time. How many people do not know the Lord, and how many people do not want to know the Lord? He wasn't saying this out of ignorance. He was saying this out of ego. There's a difference there. You know, I know people today, and I want to say this. This is not a calling out. It is a calling to. Sin is a serious thing. Unbelief is a serious thing. And I don't want it to look like a earthly preacher is trying to preach to an earthly people from a perspective that he thinks he's perfect. I know I'm not. I need the Lord just as much as anybody, and I know that. This is not a calling out. This is a calling to. That's the importance of what we need to see here. And I think about people today, friends that I know, people who will tell me blatantly they don't believe in God, they don't believe there is a God, and they will say that they're an atheist and they do not believe in God. And, you know, I could be contentious with that. Another person could be contentious with that. But let me tell you this morning, I have a heart for those people. Somebody that would come to me, or I see this here, that says, "I do not know the Lord." That doesn't spark hatred in my heart. That sparks concern. I have a heart for people. I want to see people get right with God, not on my account, but for their account. It's for their betterment. It's for their preparation. I want to see them be right with God. Imagine what this world would be like if more and more people were right with God, following his word, the order that he has prescribed here. But we see, again, before I get too long, but he says, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" He was asking, he was taunting back at Moses, "that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." I don't even know who you're talking about, but I'm not letting him go. I'm not going to let you go. And I see this here, and I looked at Matthew chapter number 22, verse 32, and it says, if you want to know who God is, you think about the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament, it says, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." You think about the God of the Old Testament, how he witnessed and how he was made known to Abraham. Abraham trusted in God, trusted him in what he said, and it was counted to unto him for righteousness. That was his salvation, his trusting of God. The same promises that was made with Isaac, the same God, promise that was made with Jacob was made by the same God. God proclaiming himself here to these people. And he is saying that I am not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You know, that kind of does something in my heart. Because again, what I'm reading here is in Matthew chapter number 22, verse 32. And it's written in red, and that means that's my Savior, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is doing the proclaiming here and saying this here. And I tell you, I want you to know the God of the Old Testament was made manifest in the body of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Jesus being all God and all man. So when you look back and you see what Pharaoh is saying here, he did not want to know the Lord. He didn't want to know him. He had a stance against him. I want us to see and understand this morning who we're talking about. The God of the Old Testament of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was made manifest and known in the body and the being of Jesus Christ. All God and all man. That does something for my heart. You see what Pharaoh or what Moses and Aaron were doing to Pharaoh when they went to him and told him to let our people go, to let Israel go. He was proclaiming God's word to them, to him. You see, that's a very important thing in this day and time. Again, I'm not saying it's a calling out, but it's a calling to. It's a calling to, a drawing to Jesus Christ, a drawing to God. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We can't do the saving. We cannot pretend to be the Holy Spirit. My conviction can't be yours. You have to have that with God yourself. It's a personal thing. I see this here. That's what Moses was doing in verse 1. Let's go to Mark chapter number 16 for just a second. I want to show you something here in what the gospel says. You can find it in other places in the gospels also, but I wanted to read this to you about the seriousness of the commission or the proclamation that's being made. When the Lord laid on my heart and dealt with me about surrendering to preach, it wasn't like, now, Jason, you're going to go out here and law people. You're not going to go out here and boss people around and tell people what to do, but there is a persuading that takes place, and it's out of concern and it's out of love. Any kind of danger that would be taking place that maybe I could help somebody avoid, there's a persuading or a showing, a guiding. That's what this is about. But we see in Mark chapter number 16, verses 15 and 16, again, this is the Lord talking here. You will recognize this as the Great Commission. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Shall be damned. And when I read this, when I see these verses, that's the urgency that I have. That's the concern that I have. I care enough about you that I want you to know the importance of being saved. It's not I'm trying to get you to do things my way or see things my way for my benefit to say I'm right and you're wrong, but it's to call you to Jesus Christ. I tell you, a lot of things that might be wrong in your life that you've recognized is not right in your life, things I've recognized that does not need to be in my life that's not right. When I get right with God, he has a way of making those things right. He shows me. When I commune with him, he shows me, Jason, this doesn't need to be in here. If you really want to have peace with God, Romans chapter number 5, verse 1, by faith we have that peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, peace with God. That's how we have that peace. If you're not at peace with your life, you can be. There's a way that you could do that. This great commission that was being sent out is to share the gospel with people. The reason that I am doing this morning is not for myself. It's not for vainglory. It's not for ego. It's not for self. It's not for flesh. It's for spirit. I want to see people get right with God. It's a calling to, not a calling out. I want us to understand that. And you see here, that's what we're doing here this morning. We're sharing the Great Commission. And the first person, the first type that we see here is Pharaoh, and that he did not want to know. Now let's go to John chapter number 3. Very common, very good, exciting portion of Scripture when you read about it. The first type that we have here in knowing, you had somebody that didn't want to know or proclaim they didn't know or was not willing to learn and accept who Jesus or who God is. Now, I want us to be very clear this morning. If you're listening and maybe you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you're wanting to know, you want to know, I want you to know that you can. I want you to know and understand if you have a desire to learn more about God, he won't leave you stranded. He won't leave you out there. I want to give you a good example this morning. Some of the most common scripture that's quoted when you're talking about salvation or the love of God was explained here, was given here when God or Jesus, all God, all man, Jesus, was talking to Nicodemus. And it was a private conversation, a conversation that took place at night because Nicodemus wanted to learn more, but he's afraid of the world around him. I think that we could probably pull a lot of parallels from that this morning because, you know, the world around us sometimes, it's always been unfriendly as far as it being enmity with God. But also, we see that's what was taking place here in Nicodemus' life. God didn't leave him stranded. God didn't leave him out there. He wanted to know. He wanted to know. The second type of person is Nicodemus did want to know. You might be listening this morning and you want to know. You want to hear. You want to see more. By faith, you're reaching out. Maybe you've attended church some, or maybe you just started attending church. Maybe you are just being exposed to the gospel for the first time. Maybe you didn't grow up in church and you don't have that foundation, but you want to know. And maybe there's a sense of urgency in your life that I want to know more. Will God actually commune with me? Will he actually teach me or help me? I want to tell you that he will. A few examples I can share with you. Cornelius, he prayed. And God sent somebody to him and his family. Him and his family accepted the Lord. Ethiopian eunuch. You remember what happened there and how he was riding along and he was reading out of the book of Isaiah and he didn't understand what he was reading. You know what? God sent somebody to him. That's how I feel this is this morning. Being able to, even though we're not in church and maybe just a small group or just a group of a congregation just in-house, but look. This is live. I see the little red live there. It's live to everybody, to whoever wants to tune in and listen. Maybe you have questions. I want us to see something here in John chapter number 3, verses 14 through 18. And you can go back and read that entire chapter, but I challenge you to read the book of John. You have questions about who God is and who Jesus is. I challenge you, I urge you, to read the Gospel of John. It will explain a lot of things to you, and it will speak to your heart. It's hard not to really get in there for the Lord every time I go through this book. But it says here, John 3, verse 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I'm going to stop there for a second. The Son of Man is talking about Jesus Christ must be lifted up. You know, in the Old Testament, when Moses lifted up that staff, it's the same staff that you'll see on paramedics. You'll see that that emblem that's on there, the serpent going up on the staff. And that was, when they looked upon that, that is what would heal them. And that was the healing power. But you know, the healing power that we need this day and time is the healing power of Jesus Christ. And what he's talking about here is Jesus Christ being raised up on that cross. And you know what we're saying here, for him to be raised up physically on that cross, to die for our sin, he must be lifted up. That's what took place at the time of the cross, as you're ending the time of the law, coming into the time of grace. In this day and time, we as preachers, we as Christians need to be lifting Jesus Christ up in our lives that men can see him. See, that's a drawing power. It's the goodness of God that draws men, that brings men to repentance. We see how good he is. It's like, I just want to repent my sin to him because he's just so good to me. He is that good and he is that worthy. He's that important. You see, Nicodemus here, he didn't understand everything, but God sent Jesus, just like he did to all of us. God sent Jesus. You imagine what this witnessing time was like. You imagine what this was like. And this is what God, this is what Jesus was explaining straight to Nicodemus by night. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I like eternal life. I don't like things that are temporal. I don't like things I have to go in and change and maintain and do things like that. I like things that are eternal. I like knowing that what I have in Jesus Christ is eternal. I'll say that there. Speak more to that in just a little bit. Verse 16. Anybody ever hear this before? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is what Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus. Now look at these verses here. I want us to grasp this. It said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, let me go back to you. Remember what I was saying, talking about this. It's not a calling out, it's a calling to. If you have not, anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, They're lost. They're condemned. They're in a condemned state, a lost state. That's what is being taught here. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm calling you to me. I'm calling you to repent to me. I'm calling you to ask me for forgiveness of your sins, and I will be faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus here to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus is my best friend. I want you to see that this morning. I don't want you to be fearful of him in a way that you are trying to flee from him. I want you to be fearful and revering to him because of who he is. But he'll be the best friend you ever had. When people, that conviction, I know conviction is a hard thing to deal with. I know that it pulls at your heart, but that is God's way of saying that you need to be right. That's God's way of saying here, you're condemned already. You need to do something already. Now is the time. You need to do something already. And what is that that you do? You ask God to forgive you of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, that lifting up. You ask him to forgive you. See, Nicodemus wanted to know this. In verse 18 it says, and he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. A person who has not believed on the name of Jesus Christ and asked him for forgiveness and has accepted him as his Savior is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Nicodemus wanted to know. Jesus explained to him. You see, that's what I believe we should be spending our time doing in this day and time as Christians, as preachers, getting people ready. Now, I know the books, the Bible is a very big book. It contains a lot of things. But my goodness, as time grows closer and closer to his return, how important it is for us to tell people and show people through our lives. We're not perfect people. Christians are not perfect people. And I grow very concerned of people, legalism, people trying to say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this to be saved. You got to believe on the only begotten name, the only begotten Son's name, Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. By faith, accept him, and you can be saved. Now, that will change your life afterwards. It's not about a changing beforehand. It's about a changing afterwards. You see here, I was pleased to know and happy to know after reading what I saw in Pharaoh and how sad that was that there are still people that want to know. Do you want to know this morning? Do you want to know him? Are you in that category? Do you want to know him? Do you want to know more? He will send somebody to you. The very fact that we're even talking about this morning, I believe, is God is sending the word to you. God is sending it out to you. We see here also the third thing that I want to share with you, another thing I want to read to you in Matthew before we go to the last point. Now, I'll be closing here pretty soon, not trying to keep it, make it too long this morning, but I do want you to hear and understand. But there's a sad part that I see here, another sad part that I see probably right up there with what I read and saw with Pharaoh is what we see in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 22 through 23. This is, again, Jesus talking. He's talking about the kingdom life or how it is. But it's saying here, many will say to me in that day at his return, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name and in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? They're at face to face. People saying this face to face at judgment. With Jesus Christ, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not done all these mighty works in your name? And the response here, it says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now that's probably the saddest words that you can read in the Bible. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's talking about those who proclaimed to know God, who had God's word, but they held it in untruthfulness. They didn't tell people the truth. They sought it as a way of maybe making money, a career. You know, some people look at preaching. Some people look at the ministry as a career. Let me tell you, this is anything but a career. It's a calling. We've heard differences in careers and callings and things, what have you. It is work. It's a laborious work, but it's not about the money. Let me just tell you that. I know with some, you look at some of these probably what you call large scale evangelists, TV evangelists and all that, and how they've perverted God's word to tell people what they want to hear, and just to try to soothe their conscience and try to get money for it. And everybody's happy because one, the false prophet is getting the money. Two, the people are hearing what they want to hear. Well, that's not what this is about this morning. I want to tell you the truth. How sad is that? You know, I want to say this. I want to say this here. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I think there's a lot of people today, self-proclaiming Christians, that pretend to know the Lord, but really don't. I want to ask you something. Do you know the Lord this morning? Have you experienced His goodness in your life? Have you experienced His presence even during hard times? I have a lot of friends that are facing some very, very hard things right now. And just the fact that we face hard things doesn't mean that He's not God and doesn't mean that He's not there. He is. I think that my friends, my believing friends who are facing hard times, would profess to you and tell you that they can feel His Spirit when He comes along. Some of the things I've faced in my life, when I feel that presence, that's how I know. You say, preacher, how do you know that there's a God in heaven? How do you know? You say you're saved and you preach. How do you know? It's because of what I feel in my heart. That's how I know. You're just going to have to trust Him. You're just going to have to trust me when I tell you that. I feel Him in my heart. You see here with Nicodemus, he was seeking Him. He wanted to know something. You see the false prophets here, the ones that Jesus Himself will say, I never knew you. They perverted His word. I just want to keep it plain and simple this morning. No hidden agenda, nothing like that. I just want to share the goodness of God with you, His mercy with you. If you're lost, I want you to know that you can be saved and that you can know that. I've had people say before, I hope I'm going to get to heaven. I hope I can. You know, the Bible teaches us that you can know. The first type of person that we saw was one who didn't want to know. The second type of person that we saw here is one who did want to know. And I want us to go to 1 John. You probably know, some of you Bible teachers or Bible teachers and Bible studiers probably know. I want to challenge you to read another book of the Bible, a few books. There's three Little Johns, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Little Johns. I want to share those with you. But if you look at 1st John chapter number 5, verses 13 through 15, I want to share this with you. And it saddens my heart for those who don't want to know, for those who don't know. But it encourages my heart to be able to tell you, you can know. God wants you to know. That's why He sent Jesus to this earth. He's not trying to hide the gospel from you. He's not trying to be elusive and hide from you. He wants you to know. But those who worship Him, those who seek Him and go to Him, must go to Him in spirit and truth. You know, God is a spirit, and that's how we have to worship Him spiritually. We can't do it outwardly in the flesh. That's not going to get it done. We have to go to Him in spirit and truth. And I like what 1 John says here. 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God." It's talking about those who've already accepted Christ. Those, again, I'll read this. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's how you have eternal life. It's not something that you get and you lose. It's not something. If it was based off of our worthiness, if it was based off of our goodness, if it was based off of our ability to fulfill the law or live the law or live a certain way, and that is what our salvation was based on, I can tell you sincerely, Jesus Christ would not have had to go to the cross. The very fact He had to go to the cross is because every single one of us as mankind was imperfect. He Himself was the only perfect sacrifice, and therefore that sacrifice was the complete covering of sin for all mankind. See, that's why Jesus had to go to the cross, because we needed a perfect salvation. We needed a perfect Savior, a perfect sacrifice, and that could only be done by Jesus Christ. And in doing that, when we believe in Jesus Christ, let's read this again. It says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God." If you're saved, this means you. "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." And that goes on On to say here too, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. We have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. I tell you, I want you to know this last part, you can know. I know based off of what the Lord has laid on my heart. You say, how can you be at peace, or how can you have any peace in a world like this and things that are going on? And again, I know several of my friends, church members and friends, going through terrible times, hard times. But I can tell you this, I know that the Lord is with you. I know he's there with you. I know he's there with us. I know in my life, the hardships and the things that I've faced, and I'm telling you, there's times it's just absolutely not easy. But when he comes alongside, and he lays his arms around me and he hugs my neck, I know that he's there. That's the peace that I have. That's how I know. That's the only way I could even sleep at night, knowing that I'm saved and secured. I remember a time before I accepted the Lord, I didn't have that peace. I would go to bed at night and probably just lay there for hours, afraid, what if the Lord comes back? What if he comes back before I wake up? What if I wake up in hell? That was the Lord telling me, Jason, you need to be saved. He's not here to come condemning. He's here to set us free. I'm going to be closing right here with this. You know, that's one thing I want us to see. And I want us, I was talking to Brandy about this, maybe this morning, last night, about just how precious this book is. I think sometimes people look at it as a law book. And it is. The law of God is contained in this book. And I know some people reverence this book. Some people burn this book. Some people don't reference it at all. You fall back and look at people with the mindset of Pharaoh that just mock God or what have you. Then you have some people that are afraid to open this book because they don't understand what's in there. If you open the pages of this book and you start asking the Lord to help you and to show you, he'll say, there's things I want you to know in here. There's things I want to teach in here. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will come alongside and he will teach those things to you. He will keep you in the right path. He will teach you. He will show you. There's things I want you to know. But can I tell you this morning, there's things that God wants you to know. That word know again means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to be no stranger, to have full assurance of. God wants us to know him. The more I learn about him, the closer I want to be to him. The more I want to grow in him. There's no way. His ways are past our understanding. The Bible teaches us there. He wouldn't be God if that wasn't the case. But there's things in his word that he wants us to know. He wants us to understand. And he wants to teach us. And he'll do that. He'll do that if we're willing to listen to him. Friends, I'm going to close here. Those that may be listening, that maybe are non-believers and don't want to hear it, please know that I have a heart for you. I'm praying for you. I'm not calling you out. I'm trying to call you to him, the lifted up Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to call you up to him. That's what it's about. I'm not here to pick fights or debate or anything like that. God's word is forever settled. And those that are lost, that are hearing this, that want to know more, feel free to reach out to me. But God's word, it will show you the path. It'll show you how to be saved. It's contained in his book. It's not a hiding from. It's a calling too. He wants you to know. He wants us to know. Everything he wants us to know on this side of eternity, he has shared with us in his book. Let's stay faithful to his book. And those who've accepted Christ, I want to encourage you this morning that you can know. Don't, if you've accepted Christ, don't let the devil try to talk you out of it. I won't try to talk you into a salvation, and I won't try to talk you out of one. I tell you, that is between you and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a personal thing. But the Bible teaches us you can know. The Holy Spirit move in your life, move into your heart. You see him make manifest things unto you. He helps you through situations, even the hard times, the harder times in life that he has helped you through, helped us through. That is just how much more wonderful and much more known he has made himself to you. You can see many accounts of that in the Bible also. I'm going to stop here, but friends, thank you so much for listening in this morning. And again, invite you to listen every Sunday, every Wednesday. If you do not have a church family, I'd love to have you with us. We, as a church, would love to have you with us at Mount Lebanon. I know the university's closed. Love to have you with us. Our friends, coworkers, students, people round about us, and Just please know we're praying for you and we're here for you. We're praying for those in our church who are facing hard times. And let's be in prayer for our prophecy conference coming up. I think that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing for us there at the church. And again, invite everyone that might be able to come. We'd love for you to come be with us. But let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you've given to us together, Lord. And know we've not been able to meet here some at the church, and it's hard. Lord, we love seeing our church family, and just they're precious to us, God, and the fellowship that we have, being able to see them, Lord, that's important to us. But God, I also thank you for availability, the ability to do this the way that you allowed us to do it. God, I pray that it not fall on deaf ears, that people would listen, people would hear your word, God, that you would come through. You would make yourself known to them, real to them. Lord, let them know you as who you are, God, just how precious you are to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we're praying for those that are lost round about us. God, help us to be what we can be for them. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.